I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, I am joined by Alan Ormsby. He is the State Director, AARP Utah. So welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So today, we're actually going to talk about scams on the elderly. And this is becoming so prolific. Almost every other day, I see stories in the news about another elderly person who was just taken for $200,000, their life savings, everything. And I'm going to guess that these people, most of them probably were not what we would say gullible, you know, growing up or when they were working or in their mid-years. But they get to a certain point, and what makes them susceptible to people being able to just take all their money?
Yeah, so AARP has actually done a tremendous amount of research on why are certain people more susceptible. And the victim of a fraud, some people might say, oh, well, they're just not terribly sharp. No, it actually turns out that people who are victimized tend to be a little bit smarter on average, a little bit higher education. They tend to have a little bit more money. They also tend to have a little bit more of a gambling mentality. In other words, they're comfortable with risk. And that comfort with risk sometimes leads them to poor decision making. And I'll talk in a second, if you'd like me to, about frauds and the fraudsters, how good they are at getting people under what's called the ether, where you're in a place where you're in very bad decision making because of your emotions.
Yeah. So I just in the news recently, in the last week here in Utah, we had two different cases that came up. One was a man who had $250,000 taken from him. Four different people, I think they were all working in concert with each other, but there are four different people all working on him via phone and internet emails, and they managed to get this money from him. So that would, I think, would put us in the fraud department. How, if you're just on the phone and you never meet these people or via email, how does someone go, oh, sounds great, I'll just give you some money? How does that work?
So being under the ether, as I mentioned, can kind of happen in one of two ways. You can either have a sense of elation, right? I'm excited like crazy because I just won the lottery. Somebody calls me and tells me that there's exceptionally good news, right? And then I'm excited and I'm willing to engage with you. And then you start telling me things that are too good to be true. But I'm not thinking about it very clearly because it is too good to be true, but it sounds so great. The other way is if people are very upset, they're scared, they feel like something horrible is about to happen to them. We see this all the time in what's called the grandparent scam, right?
Yeah.
So someone will call and say, Grandma, I'm in a Mexican jail and don't tell Mom and Dad about this. I'm so embarrassed. I got wasted last night and now I'm in this Mexican jail. And unless you send $6,000, they're going to keep me here forever, right? So either of those heightened states of emotion can put you in a place where your decision-making capacity has really gone downhill.
Okay, and actually that's grandma scheme actually happened to a friend of mine with her grandmother. So, and Paige, that was her name, my friend's name, she did travel a bit, and her grandmother gets a phone call, 10 a.m., saying, Mom, Grandma, I'm in jail. And she doesn't even realize that it's not the same voice who's talking to her, which I just find weird. I would think you would know the person's voice on the other end of the phone. She actually made it all the way down to the bank. And fortunately, the bank manager said, have you called your granddaughter to verify? She says, no. He goes, you need to call your granddaughter. And so she did. And I'm sitting with my friend at work when she gets the phone call. And she's like, no, Grandma, I am not in jail. I'm at work. that was the first time I'd really, this was about 10 years ago, and that was the first time I'd really heard about that scheme. But my question still remains, how do you not know it's the same voice that you always talk to week in, week out?
Yeah,
on the other end of the phone.
You would be amazed at the sophistication level of these scammers, especially with social media. I'll give you a good example. My mom got a call about 4 months ago. My brother is a doctor, and the scammer knew my brother's name, knew he was a doctor, knew what practice he was a part of, told my mom that he was in significant trouble because he had done something wrong as a doctor, right? Prescribed medication improperly, whatever. The phone call came from the West Valley Police Department. And you could see right there on the caller ID, the West Valley Police Department. Now, they use what's called phishing technology to just spam, basically, any number that they want to. And they can make it seem like this call is coming from the West Valley Police Department. Luckily, this person had a fairly thick accent, and luckily my mom thought to herself, this doesn't smell right. There's something wrong about a police officer in West Valley City calling me about my son who lives in North Salt Lake, about this licensing issue. But she was freaked out and deeply scared. And luckily she had the wherewithal to say, no, I'm going to call some people and make sure that this is okay. So she called me. She called some other folks. That's one of the things that I think is so critically important is to take some time. Have a break between the crisis that the person on the phone is trying to make you have.
Right.
And when you actually make your decisions. Because they're gonna make it sound like horrible things are going to happen to your son, the doctor, unless you immediately put $15,000 or whatever the amount is on a Green Dot card or on an Apple card. That's another really big tip off is if somebody calls you and says, there's this big problem that you're confronting and they tell you to put it on a prepaid card of some kind, it's a scam, top to bottom.
Now, chances are most of us aren't sitting around with a prepaid card of more than
a couple hundred bucks,
bucks
if that.
On it. So you have to take the time to actually do that. So that's what you're saying is remove yourself from the situation. You basically have to hang up with that person, then either get online or go to a place that has a card and get the money on it, which is going to take time. So before you do all that, start making the phone calls to verify.
Yeah. So let me back up two steps. The first is, number one, don't answer your phone. Don't answer your phone, period.
Yeah.
I've told my mom and told every older adult that I deal with, let it go to your machine. If it's important, you pick the phone back up and you call them. Because this, and I said phishing technology before, it's actually called spoofing technology.
Yeah.
The spoofing technology is so good now that it can make it seem like the phone call is coming from a neighbor, coming from a legitimate source. So even if the caller ID says Alan is calling his mom, I have told my mom, don't pick up that phone. Wait until I leave a message for you and then you call me.
I have one better. Somebody spoofed my own number and called me.
From your own number?
From my own number.
Yeah.
And so the first time it happened, I went, what? And I did answer it. I usually don't. Same thing, I don't. But it was my own phone and I went, huh. So I answered it and it was a spoof. The next time it happened, I sent a text because I wanted to see what would happen. And I wrote, stop calling. And it texted me back saying, stop calling. And I've saved it. I've kept it because I'm not sure a lot of people get spoofed by their own number. And so I have saved this for posterity.
Yeah, that's a new one. I have never heard of anybody being spoofed by their own number. But I mean, I've seen on my own phone spoofing from neighbors' numbers, spoofing from, you know, my neighborhood with the, you know, how like in Taylorsville, the number is 266 or 262. And that spoofing is just, it's dangerous. It's really easy. So don't answer the phone at all.
Right. So that's the first step. Don't answer the phone. If you do for some reason and people start either, I think the scariest one is going to be the I'm in jail.
Yeah.
What do you do if you get that call?
Yeah. Understand that the person on the other line is trying to get you upset, either elated. You just won a lottery. You won the lottery in Canada. Do you ever play the lottery in Canada? No, I don't. That's probably the most common scam out there, right? Is you just won $1 million. All you have to do is pay the upfront taxes on it.
Right.
Send me $6,000 and I'll send you $1 million. Okay. So we've all heard of that one. And we're never going to fall for it, right? Until we do. And the way that they do is they'll try and get you upset some way, either elated or terrified. Just put some time between that sense of terror and when you have to then make decisions about how you're going to get Green Dot cards or prepaid, you know, a Western Union, whatever it is. They're going to tell you to go get some money so that you can transfer it there, or they're going to ask for your credit card information. There's a variety of ways they can do it, but credit card transactions are easily traceable. So they all want cards that are not easily traceable, like Green Dot cards Apple cards.
All right. That's a good place to take a break. When we come back, I want to go into the other side. This was we were talking about what you said being under the ether. What about if it's from a trusted person who's scamming you?
Oh, boy.
So we'll be right back with Alan Ormsby, the state director, AARP Utah.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way whatsoever, we're going to talk about it. And today we're talking about scams on the elderly. And even if you are not elderly yourself, you may be one day. And we really need to know what scams are out there or fraudsters that could take our money, because they're getting pretty sophisticated, as Alan Ormsby, the state director of AARP Utah, has just been explaining. In that last segment, you talked about being under the ether. Somebody calls you on the telephone, or even if you get an email going, oh, you just won the lottery. So you get all excited or fearful if you've been told that your family member is in jail for some reason. Those are a couple of the most common ones. But I want to move beyond that. There are a lot more people out there who are actually being taken for all the worth from a trusted friend, family member. In the news recently in Utah, an elderly woman had a healthcare worker. I don't know if they were coming a couple times a week or if they lived in the house, but this person stole $200,000 from the woman who was about 70 years old, which is just reprehensible. From the elderly who's worked so hard, that was supposed to be what they could live on in retirement, I find just abhorrent. But even worse than that is you are supposed to be taking care of this person. How dare somebody be in a position where if I'm the elderly person, I am relying on you, Alan, to make sure that I get to the bathroom, that I don't slip and fall in my shower, and I let you live in my house and treat you as a family member, and you take money from me?
Yeah, it's rotten, isn't it? And Utah has actually really pretty good laws around the financial abuse of elderly people. There's what's called the Vulnerable Adult Statute, and the Utah Vulnerable Adult Statute applies to anyone over the age of 65, and then it also applies to people with disabilities. So it's a good law, but the fact is, at $200,000, that person has been abusing that person for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. So how does that happen?
So typically in those situations, what you're talking about is a family member or someone who is in a trusted capacity who then begins to abuse that trust. And the interesting thing about what the research shows for this kind of abuse is it almost never starts off as I'm going to sit down and say, how do I abuse grandma, right? It's somehow about you have a position of trust where you have access to the person's assets. Maybe you help pay their bills. And when you do, then suddenly this thing starts happening where you think, oh, grandma wouldn't mind if I got myself some groceries alongside her groceries. And you start very slowly and insidiously start taking money and thinking, oh, you know, maybe I'm a beneficiary under her will. And so rather than take the money, you know, 6 months from now when grandma passes, I'll take it now. Or you're a person who is in a trusted position as a caregiver. Any of those situations can lead to abuse. And in almost no situation that I'm aware of, do family members or trusted people immediately set out to start scamming someone. It happens slowly over time.
Wow. I just have no words because it's so such a horrifying thought to me.
Yeah, you're in a very vulnerable position where you're at a point where you have to entrust someone to help
yeah.
you. You do that. You do it in a way that you hope is right, and you've surrounded yourself with trustworthy people, and when one of them starts to defraud you, it's horrible. It's a very, very awful experience.
Yeah. You just feel violated because you are. You've been violated in a way that now you can no longer take care of yourself.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned how awful it is that the person had saved up these assets to be, to pay for their retirement. Well, what happens to that person once
yeah.
a thief has come in and taken everything? Well, then their care usually lands on the average taxpayer,
mm-hmm.
right? If they don't have any assets, then they are Medicaid eligible and Medicaid will pay for their long-term care. So they did everything right in their lives. A thief comes in, takes it, and then the entire person's life is devastated and it's the Utah taxpayer who has to then step up.
Yeah, and they probably won't get the better care at some of the better assisted living places. And
yeah. The assisted living is never paid for by Medicare
right.
or Medicaid. Medicaid only pays for skilled nursing facilities. And so, yeah, it's the other thing that's horrible about that is once a thief comes in, chances are you're never going to get that $200,000 back, for example,
right.
because that person has gone out and wasted it on vehicles or partying or whatever it happens to be. You might get a tiny portion of that back, but you're never going to get the full $200,000 back. And if you fall for a scam from another country, kiss that money goodbye.
Oh, yeah. On that note, we need to take one more break. When we come back, I do want to wrap things up and then just ask a few other little questions. But I want to go over what have we learned from this. So we will be right back with Alan Ormsby, State Director, AARP, Utah. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that it talks about all things money. Today, it's how not to be scammed if you're a senior. Well, not to be scammed if you're anybody. But we're directing this especially toward the aged because they appear to be more vulnerable, which Alan Ormsby, you are the state director of AARP Utah. And I do want to go back to why are people over a certain age so much more susceptible?
First of all, no government entity is ever going to call you ever,
right.
ever. So if the IRS calls you to say that there is a problem, it's a scam. If the Utah Attorney General's office calls you to say that there is a problem, it's a scam. If the sheriff's office calls you to say there is a problem, it's a scam. They're always going to reach you in writing. And these governmental agencies are so thoughtful and cautious now because of all of these scams. They're always going to connect with you in writing or in some kind of more formal way than to pick up the phone and say, Heather, you didn't pay your magazine subscriptions. And A, why would the Attorney General care about that? But B, there is no way a government organization is going to call you. So if they do, even if it looks like it's from the right phone number, it's a scam, and hang up immediately. And why should you hang up immediately? Well, these sophisticated scammers are probing you to find out what your weaknesses are. And the approach that they're going to take fits with your weaknesses. If they thought that they could bother you more by calling you names, they would do that. There's lots of recordings out there of scammers who go from being incredibly kind and sympathetic to being rude, mean-spirited, name-calling, and it doesn't matter because all they're trying to do is get you under the ether. They're trying to get you upset, and your decision-making capacity goes way downhill when you are upset.
That is, especially as we age, I'm noticing this as I get older. I forget certain words here and there that used to just come very easily to me. So if somebody's talking at me and they, like you said, they're finding all these different, if I stay on the phone with them, they're finding all these ways to try to get to me. And finally, if I'm at such a capacity where I'm forgetting certain things, I go, oh my gosh, that must be true.
Yeah, keep in mind, these scammers are on the phone 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, all day, every day, trying to figure out ways to cheat people that they can't see face to face. And so they're picking up on verbal cues. They're picking up on your pauses. They are incredibly sophisticated. And I was going to mention to you, how did this person know that you were in New York? Well, you might have posted something on Facebook that says, I've been traveling in New York. These folks, before they call you, they're very frequently going online and looking at your social media, and think about what they can get from your social media.
Yeah.
They can figure out who your family members are. They can figure out who your friends are. They can figure out where you've traveled recently. They can figure out if you're a Republican or a Democrat and a variety of different things. And they'll talk to you in a way that either makes you elated or makes you incredibly upset and unhappy. And it's no longer just a game where somebody just calls a random set of 50 phone numbers. The other thing that's horrible that you mentioned was this poor person who was scammed by four different callers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were working in concert. And what happens is if you pick up the phone, number one, you are on what's called a live caller list. So at very least, they know that people will answer the phone from that list. And
yep.
So you're going to get spread around all over the place. Now, if you're a person who will stay on the phone for a couple of minutes, then you automatically get elevated to the top of that list among all the various scammers who share these lists.
Yep.
If you get ripped off, then you are on what's called a super list, a sucker list, where they believe that they can get you. And one of the most insidious scams out there is somebody gets scammed, and then someone else calls them and says, I know you've been scammed out of $874.23. I'm with the Utah Attorney General's office, and I'll help you recover that. All you need to do is give me X, Y, and Z. And it's not somebody from the Attorney General's office. It's someone who's scamming you twice. They're telling you that they can help you. They're not.
Not. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I knew about the longer you stay on the phone, mm-hmm. the higher up the ranks you go for more and more callers. And so I told my mother that. She had been complaining. They were getting 10, 12 calls a day. And my mother, unfortunately, she's not susceptible to that type of being scammed. But she would just get so mad that they would call. She would start swearing at mm-hmm. them. But I'm like, no, you're staying on the phone longer. It doesn't matter that you're swearing at them.
No.
They don't care. So I told her, I said, don't say anything. Just hang up. So she said she did that. And within a couple of weeks, the calls dramatically reduced because she no longer was staying on the phone.
Yeah.
With these people.
And again, I would just say, don't even answer the phone.
Yeah.
Get an answering machine or, you know, modern technology. Everybody's got cell phones. And just let it go to voicemail. And then if it's important, you listen to the voicemail and you call them. Because you're exactly right. Once you're on a list, you're going to get call after call after call. And you asked earlier, why are older adults more vulnerable to this? And I would clarify that I don't think vulnerable adults are more susceptible. I think they become vulnerable because they're kind and they still have manners, right?
Right.
And so me, if I get a phone call from what I know is a scammer, I don't have any compunction at all about hanging the thing up and then deleting that person's phone number, blocking them from my caller list, right?
Oh, you should see, I probably have 2,000 numbers that have been blocked on my phone and swiping delete once I block it so that it's not even there. Yeah.
So older adults, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, there's still a level of trust. When that phone rings, they a lot of times will pick up the phone and try and figure out who's on that other line. That level of kindness can be, utilized by scammers to manipulate people.
Okay. And I feel like, you remember that old Christmas song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
I do.
I feel like Grandma got run over by a scammer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is absolutely without question. If you've been scammed once, you will be scammed again and scammed over and over again in very different and sophisticated ways. And so changing a phone number is not a bad thought. And then, like I say, just never answer the phone.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to go, my takeaways from this, you just sort of did that, is if the phone rings
and you see the number and you know it's a number, remember it can be spoofed. And
that's
so
right.
Let that person go to voicemail. You go back and figure out if the person actually is a real person or not, or if it's someone spoofing.
Okay. So no matter the number that's calling you, don't answer the phone. If for some reason you answer the phone and you realize within the first three words that's nobody you know, hang up.
Hang up.
Don't say anything to them at all.
Don't engage.
Do not engage by even saying, don't call me, or swearing, or who is this? Nothing. Just as soon as they say their three words and you realize it's not anybody you know, hang up.
Yeah.
And if you do engage and they freak you out or get you excited and you want to do money, take that breather between the time you hang up the phone with them and you're going to actually go do something, like pick up a prepaid gift card or something.
Know those red flags. Talk to a trusted person in your life and say, hey, I just got this phone call. This is what they asked me to do. Do you think this is legitimate or not? Take time, because they're going to lie to you and they're going to say, unless this happens in the next 20 minutes, that person is going to go to jail or whatever it is. They're going to cause you to feel like there is an urgency. Just separate yourself out from that urgency.
Thank you so much, Alan Ormsby. You are the state director for AARP Utah.
You're welcome. And we always say it's the best $16 you're ever going to spend.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.